Hello, everyone, and welcome to Jeff G tonight. Mickey Daza says, good evening from California, bro. Bro, are you still in California? Are you sure you want to live there? Okay, just talk to me at a certain distance, please. I wouldn't want your leftism to invade my space. But welcome, Mickey Daza. I can't believe if someone truly still lives in California. I mean, what kind of endurance do you have? Do you demonstrate by doing this? It's quite amazing. Argerod says, Jeff, there's an interesting study on analysis of all-cause mortality that shows it's likely it was the various government health administrations that caused the supposed COVID-19 deaths. Yeah, I mean, I've been familiar with this hypothesis, and in any case, I've mentioned many times in the last years that the whole pandemic was based around over-testing, over-attribution of deaths, over-estimation in terms of the main cause of death as opposed to just COVID being present. It's like every time COVID was present and someone died, they assess that it was a COVID death. Analysis of all-cause mortality by week in Canada, 2010-2021 by province, age, and sex. I wouldn't say there was no COVID pandemic. See, this is what the guy sent me as a link. I wouldn't say that's correct. There was a pandemic, just like there's been a pandemic of flu or rhinovirus or coronavirus every year since the beginnings of time of humanity until the end of time. It will always be true. But it is true that the deaths that have happened were part of a regular scheme that you would expect. There was no, there was no massive drop of the population that could be recorded. And so what it looks like to me is people died because they had to die, because we had an accumulation of old people in our society. And people have tried to market this as a COVID pandemic and tried to give COVID some kind of special status when it's just a respiratory disorder just like any others. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? I've missed some news yesterday because it was Valentine's Day, and so I was having a Valentine moment with Mama JF. So a lot has been happening. Justin Trudeau is taking over people's bank accounts. He is delegating the task to banks to just stop bank accounts who have contributed more than $25 to the Give Send Go campaign. This is unbelievable. $25. So you're just a guy on the internet who has had an interest in giving to the trucker convoy. You thought it was a protest. You gave the money before it even happened. And you see your bank account get frozen by Justin Trudeau, by your local bank, just because Justin Trudeau told the banks, freeze those bank accounts that have given more than $25. It's unbelievable that this is happening. But this is why we need cryptocurrencies. Cash is not what it was anymore. They will take it from you if one of your exes make false allegations against you, if you give to the wrong causes, if you use that money in any way against the system, it will eventually be taken from you, and more than the money you gave. They could freeze all of your bank account. Fractalman says, people flip their shit when you freeze their account. Wonder if they are trying to promote... well, I will not read this. This hypothesis is not interesting. Mindy Robinson says, the first black Olympian to represent the U.S. in skeleton, college track star Kelly Curtis. Meet Kelly Curtis, USA Skeleton's first black Olympian. To that I say congratulations to the black community. Excellent work. You have one of your first member in African black African American woman has been representing your community in Skeleton. Congratulations, Black people of America. Hashtag Black History Month was tweeting Team USA on Twitter. Hashtag Black History Month. And you know the whole fact that Justin Trudeau has done these emergency measures, while also there was a hack of Give Send Go. This is worrying to me. The fact that this is a hack that sides with the system. Normally, you know, hackers and the communities of piracy and hacking are kind of anti-system in nature. They are kind of anarchist and they are against the system. But here we have a hack of a website while it was essentially being targeted by the Canadian government as a kind of place of terrorism because, oh, they support the convoy protesters and the convoy protesters, they want to paint them as terrorists. But Give Send Go getting hacked and all of the real names of people who have contributed to the convoy campaign have been released for a couple of minutes. They have been released on some website, and the website was redirected. The true website was redirecting to that fake website for a couple of minutes. Eventually, Give Send Go shut down their own website for many hours to figure out what was happening. And it turns out that the list of the real names of the contributors to the convoy campaign has been published. And so that's my question to you on Entropy. Had you given money to Give Send Go? Had you contributed to the convoy campaign? Yes or no? I'd like to know to what extent our community has joined. I didn't make an appeal to contribute to the Give Send Go. I've always been supportive of the truckers and their goal, but it's a different thing to say I'm supportive than to say I'm going to tell all of you to go donate. Ultimately, you donated if you wanted to donate, but yeah, we need to protect our stuff. I'm very proud of the security level we have at arguably.io. I don't think such a thing could happen on the website I just opened, arguably.io. Hopefully it doesn't happen. I think my security is top level. So they say Give Send Go has published on Gab a message concerning this hack. We know there are many questions concerning the attacks on Give Send Go Sunday night. Sunday evening, February 13th, Give Send Go was attacked by malicious actors attempting to eliminate the ability of its users to raise funds. There was a broadcasted breach showing one such actor illegally hacking into Give Send Go and distributing the names and emails of the donors of the Freedom Convoy campaign. However, no credit card information was leaked, no money was stolen. Give Send Go has a dedicated team aggressively focused on identifying these malicious actors and pursuing actions against their cybercrime. At the time of the intrusion, Give Send Go's security team immediately shut down the site to prevent further illegal actions against our site. We have also performed many security audits to ensure the security of the site before bringing the site back online. We are in a battle. We didn't expect it to be easy. This has not caused us to be afraid. Instead, it's made it even more evident that we cannot back down. Thank you for your continued support, prayers, and the countless emails letting us know you are standing with us. Extremely important not to give access to your server to the outside world. Personally, you know, I'm thinking about making a video about this because I think people don't know enough about server security. But personally, my server, the only way you can connect to my server is by being in my home. It detects your IP and it rejects any requests of anyone outside the home. The only way you can access it is if you were to have a physical Ethernet wire connected to it, to my router. So that's a first step of Ethernet security. No outside communication. A second step of Ethernet security is your IP should be hidden. And the way you do this is with Cloudflare. Now, GiveSendGo does have Cloudflare, but if they're improperly configured, having Cloudflare on in and of itself will not protect you. But if you have Cloudflare and you combine this with a firewall that rejects any sort of IP connection, even server-based port 80 connections, my server rejects anything that comes from the internet. The only IPs that are accepted are the IPs from Cloudflare. And so you have a privileged route here, which protects you from side attacks, people accessing your MySQL database, that kind of stuff. Bird Flu says, lol, no Wi-Fi if you go to visit JF. No, I mean, you can have Wi-Fi, but the server will not allow you to connect through Wi-Fi. So it's as simple as this. You need to have a super built firewall that only accepts the things that are needed for your server to function. So yes, very disappointing that it happened to GiveSendGo. I hope that they make the fixes so that this doesn't happen again. But at times also it happens because someone in your team is corrupted. But the whole reason why this is worrying is that we have here a hack that totally sides with the government. It's like, even in the hack, they were saying, oh, these trucker convoys are dangerous. And if you're that cucked, how are you an hacker? How does that work? You're a pro-mask, pro-vaccine mandate hacker? What is that? Anonymous cucks? It's like, you are seeding anarchy on the internet while wanting fascism in the real life. You're not a hacker, you fucking idiot. Anyways, the fact that it happened at this time makes one believe that it could be a government agent. That it could be, I mean, a lackey of Trudeau. And that's worrying. Or you know, one of these foreign firms that are collaborating with the Canadian or Americans, like we've seen so much with Trump and the whole fake dossier about him. And it's very worrying. The internet is not what it used to be. And that's worrying. I'm very excited about Friday, because Friday we're going to have a guest. And this guest is amazing. His name is Ray Fleming. And I've just started going through his stuff for a couple of days now. And this guy has a theory of physics that seems to me absolutely innovative. He is totally going against the standard model. And he thinks that everything boils down to electromagnetic interactions. And he's trying to unify the whole of quantum physics and particle physics and eventually relativity, although he thinks relativity will not be part of the unified final physics. He's trying to unify all of this in some brilliant ways. This guy is genius. He thinks, for example, that the strong force doesn't even exist. Or it exists. I mean, it exists as it is observed, but he thinks it's a nippy phenomenon of the Casimir effect type. You know, the Casimir effect is the fact that if two plates are close enough, you have some quantum fluctuations that will not happen between the two plates. And because they will not happen, it will pull the plates even closer. He thinks that this is what's happening between the neutrons and protons in the nuclei of the atom. He thinks that they're so tight together that they have a Casimir effect going on. And that means so much for the standard model. And it's all quantified. He has explanations for the mass of electrons and the mass of protons that I've never seen physics come up with explanations on this. They always give you the number and they say you have to accept that's the number. This guy seems to have thought a lot and deeply about a novel way to look at a lot of phenomenon, and man, I'm fascinated. I can't wait to talk to him. It's going to be on Friday, this Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern time, because for the next 3 days, we're going to do Wednesday, Thursday, and this time Friday, to at 9 p.m. Eastern time. So that starts tomorrow. Also, don't forget, today is a double program. We will have our private Patreon and Subscribestar hangout. Or for those of you who are still contributing on the YouTube channel as Mythical Moose, I will be posting the link right after the show. It will be at 9 p.m. Eastern time today, right after the regular show. By the way, join me on Entropy. The link is right below the video, and it is the right place to send me your questions and super chats. Michael Monfort has already sent a super chat. And you can also use the Odyssey option support, but log in to Odyssey. Make sure you create an account on Odyssey. Be logged in. This will allow you to send hyper chats through the support option. Michael Montfort sends $10 on Entropy. He says, Jeff, I find Richard Spencer's views exasperating, in particular how he is against every right-wing politician and figure. But I certainly don't object to him as a guest, and I like the pushback that you give when he comes on. Yeah, I mean, Richard Spencer is at a particular place of the multidimensional space of thought. Is it right-wing thought? Honestly, I don't know if Richard Spencer qualifies as right-wing as far as I'm concerned. And I don't know that he proudly claims himself to be a right-winger. I think that he's an interesting thinker. I don't know that he's affirmatively saying, I'm right-wing and I believe in the right. Personally, to me, he is an authoritarian, and so although I enjoy every discussion we have, he remains an authoritarian to me who doesn't have a solution to the problem of the selection of the authority. It's like he's kind of a wannabe powerful person, and the fact that he exists shows you the ridicule of authoritarianism, which is that authoritarianism is someone has the power, makes decisions for other people, and everyone below him is like, hey, we could get that power and do something good with it. And it's like, even if they were to get power, they would eventually make bad decisions for other people. And the problem of the replacement of authority is a big problem. Authority always ends up making the wrong decisions because authority is not punished. It's not properly incentivized at making the right decisions. And so it's crashing everyone's life, just like Trudeau is crashing the life of truckers who want to do commerce. You know, they just want to drive a truck between a border here and here. They just want to go to a gas station here and there until they can carry their stuff to some grocery store to sell it. That's what a tracker does. And suddenly these guys hear, oh, there's an authority above my head that has decided I have to have a vaccine to do that. The problem is that the person trying to force the vaccine on them is not the person paying the price. He's not the person who will have to stand at their bedside if they ever die from getting the vaccine. He's not the person who's going to have to pay the enormous cost in healthcare or in personal injury that they will undergo if the vaccine hurts them. So that's the standard case for why authority is bad. And unfortunately, Richard Spencer is someone who looks at power and wants it. But there's no evidence that Richard Spencer, once he gets power, or once someone even like him or supported by him gets power, that it will get any better. I mean, think about who he supported, Joe Biden. Let us remind ourselves. I mean, it pinches my heart every time I have to remind myself of this, but Richard Spencer has supported Joe Biden. So what did we gain from this? We got warmongering in Ukraine, Russia, which actually has been invalidated yesterday because Russia is saying, we're pulling back. We're done with our military exercise, so we're going to pull back our troops. Amazing, because I predicted this. I said, you know what? Putin may be trolling. Putin may just be realizing, I just have a couple of tanks to move there. on the border of my country. The costs are minimal to me. It's a good military exercise because eventually I might need to start a war. And it's going to induce millions and billions of dollars of waste on the side of the Americans, their diplomacy, their media, and they're going to look ridiculous. And that's exactly what happened. Yesterday, Russia starts withdrawing from its position, saying we never wanted a war. They have been trolled. The American government has been trolled. It's 2022. Wonderful. But yeah, so getting from Joe Biden, we got this Ukraine-Russia stuff. We got vaccine mandates that didn't work. We got withdrawal from the Afghanistan, which was ridiculous and made the country look weak, but also because the country is weak. The country is weak, and we're learning that the army has become so woke that they now have special standards for women. You know how they like to show, oh yeah, we're more accepting now to women, LGBT, and they've developed separate standards. So what happens when you develop separate standards on cardio and health and physical fitness? Well, it always ends up to be the same thing. Men end up in the front, on the front line, because they're the only one who are capable of forming teams that are capable of handling that level of stress and danger and physical demand. And the females stand back and they play a role in earphones and monitoring and keyboard typing. This is dramatic for a military, because in the military there is this sense in a particular battalion or team, or you know, any sort of groupings of the military, there is this idea that we're all taking the risk together and we're all going to stand up for our brothers in arm to save them from trouble, just like I would expect them to save me from trouble. But introduce the gender inequality in there, saying, oh yeah, we're going to let females get into the same salary position as you. They're going to get the same advantage, the same medals. But when push comes to shove, when it's time to fight, we're going to say, oh, well, this female has been accepted under a lower standard, so she doesn't have the cardio to go run with you in the jungle and get shot at by Viet Congs. So it's amazing, because this is a metaphor for the whole of society. The entire history of human civilization is women are kind of at the service of the men of their home. Well, the history of, say, European civilization, because it gets more complicated if you get into polygamous countries. But let's say the history of European civilization. Females are at home and in charge of the family, and men are going out there to get shot at or get thrown spears or swords, depending on the historical era. And in exchange, they have reproductive rights onto the females if they do come back home alive. And if they don't come back home alive, still they will have had the babies that they had the chance to have before going to war. And getting females into the army, like the Democrat Party has been wanting to do and has done, and it's not just the Democrat Party. There's also a movement for openness to female in the army by the Republican side. But, you know, the extent to which they've done it recently with LGBT and all sorts of identities, it ultimately takes this conflict, this asymmetry of interest between the female and the male, and it just pushes it forward, closer to the front line. But in the end, it's always going to be men sent to the front line because women are less capable, period. Carnival has a message on entropy. He says, there's a silver lining when you test to see if you have your so-called freedoms in the supposedly free and liberal West. You find out they were always a lie when push comes to shove. Oh, you thought you live in a free country? Watch us call you an extremist funding terrorism while we take extreme actions like take your bank account and trucks. Mask off. Absolutely. It's what we're seeing. And by the way, all these special terroristic measures, everyone back in the days when they enacted Patriot Acts and that kind of stuff, all these special measures that give essentially infinite powers to our governments in democratic societies, which have been enacted in Canada with the emergency power and in the US with the Patriot Act and other acts. Everyone was saying back then, it's going to eventually be turned against the American citizen. And they're doing it right now. It's like a textbook. They're just doing it. This was designed to combat extreme cases of terrorism, someone planning to drive a plane into a building in the US. And now what do we have? A bunch of truckers protesting what is essentially a labor issue, because it boils down to this. It's an issue related to the government forcing certain things on certain workers. And you have the measures that were meant to address the planes being driven into a building and killing thousands of people. Suddenly, those same measures are being used to quell a protest, a labor protest, essentially. Yet, despite the emergency measures being declared by Trudeau, it doesn't seem for now that the protest has been squashed. We still see trucks in Ottawa, and right now there is currently lots of snow. There's snow falling, so a lot of the live streams are actually with the truckers inside their trucks because it is getting very cold in Ottawa, and we can see already an accumulation of some snow, and there's more coming. So that's good news. The trucks are still in place and are still the subject of a hard it will be hard technologically and in terms of infrastructure to get them all out. There are still many streets blocked. So the blockade keeps being a success despite the emergency powers having been self-declared by Justin Trudeau. And meanwhile, Ottawa police chief resigns. That seems to be a problem on the side of Trudeau because, and it's not clear, he makes his resignation totally lack transparency. It's not clear to me. Is he resigning because he's totally anti-trucker convoy and he doesn't like the fact that he's getting restrained by Justin Trudeau? Or is he resigning because he's totally pro-convoy and he doesn't like the fact that he's getting forced by the authorities above him to do more than he would want to be? It's not clear to me. But the fact that he resigned shows that there are internal problems between the Ottawa police chief here, who's resigning, and the RCMP and the way Trudeau would want to do things. Now, he doesn't seem to be a particularly pro-trucker convoy guy. He had announced that there would be massive prosecution of all truckers who are blocking traffic, and so he seemed to be pretty much on the side of the extreme authoritarianism of Justin Trudeau. But why would he resign then? Is it that he was not as authoritarian as Justin Trudeau? In any case, it barely matters. You know why? Because Ottawa police doesn't exist anymore under the Emergency Act. Justin Trudeau, by declaring Emergency Act, will take over the leadership of police action, and it will be mostly done by the National Service, which is the RCMP. So this guy is resigning, but under the Emergency Act, he wouldn't have had any power to act. It's all under the hands now of the crushing fist of Justin Trudeau, who's just like his father. People were pointing this on the Discord. The father of Justin Trudeau has used the emergency war measures. It was under a different act because the act that currently Justin Trudeau is taking comes from 1988, whereas the father of Justin Trudeau, it was in the 70s. But it was the same principle, the idea of infinite government power in the face of an emergency. Now, what the father of Justin Trudeau had done then when he was Prime Minister of Canada. Yes, bird flu. It was against the FLQ, the Front de Libération du Québec, a bunch of Quebec sovereignists who were advocating for kind of violence or kind of terroristic type of actions against Canada until Quebec would be free. What the FLQ had been doing, well, there were, of course, components of the FLQ that were not terroristic. There were components that were intellectual, that were just part of the nationalistic movement in general. But there were what they called cells that were terroristic. And some of them had been pausing bombs in locations related to the mailing service of Canada. So the equivalent of the USPS in Canada, Canada Post. They had been placing bombs for many months, if not years, in fact. And at some point in the what they call the October crisis, one cell of the FLQ has been successful at literally kidnapping a minister. So they knocked on the door of the minister, of the Canadian minister, and he was just there. He just answered to his door, and they took him, they kidnapped him, and they eventually he died. And if you believe the movie by Pierre Falardo on the subject, it's not that they killed him, it's that he would have died from trying to escape and cutting his belly on the side of the window as he was trying to escape. But you know, Pierre Falardo, of course, is very much pro FLQ in his interpretation of events. In any case, he ended up dying in this kidnapping, and it is under these circumstances that the father of Justin Trudeau had declared martial law, essentially. Amazingly, the martial law that was declared, which gave full powers to the army to oppress the Quebecois people in those days. We see this in the interpretation of Pierre Falardo, the document. Well, he made a kind of fiction movie about it. Amazingly, they had kidnapped the minister in a house that was just beside a military base, and no one knew they were there. But you saw the big jeeps coming out of the military base. They were holidayed to oppress Quebec sovereignist in town, but they were right beside the military base, and they were hidden in the basement. So that's a funny aspect of this. In any case, the past times in which measures of war have been used, martial law, even in those cases, it would be questionable whether they had to be used, you know. When you talk about a single individual or a cell of four or five people kidnapping a single person, that does not justify full arrest power, arbitrary arrest power on the entire population of Quebec, which is what happened. So again, we were back in the 70s in a case of abuse of power, because there was a solution which was not military. Like do police work. That's police work. A single minister of your cabinet has been kidnapped. That's police work. It's a crime. You don't need emergency measures for this. Same thing here. In all this protest, what I see is a extremely peaceful protest. If you need police work to address the problem, if violence has been made, I didn't even see evidence of single acts of violence. But if they happened and we didn't see them, unleash your police force, investigate, and attack the right persons through prosecution. So even the Civil Rights Association in Canada is saying this doesn't make sense. Trudeau didn't need the Emergencies Act, and it's very clear in this act that you can use this act only if there are no laws already proper to address the emergency. But the fact is, if you have certain crimes being made by by people who are associated closer or remotely to the trucker convoy, you already have laws against these crimes. You don't need an emergency power. So what's this emergency power for? It's for taking control of bank accounts, really. And it's Trudeau testing his authoritarian wrench here, testing the mechanism and the fluidity of it. What's scary with this is that where does it stop? I mean, eventually, will it apply to all unvaccinated people? Will Trudeau be able to arbitrarily cut news sources like mine? You know, they may try eventually to go after Rebel News. We've seen Rebel News be denied banking services. Was it already the first iterations of the oppression that Trudeau is planning? It looks like it. It looks like this is all designed to practice taking over people's bank account. Go Away says, what are Trudeau's motivations? Here in Australia, I can see that our PM and our state premier's actions, our statements, are within the bounds of what they think their respective electorates will respond positively to. Is Trudeau doing the same? Is he appealing to the average Canadian, or has he gone too far? Well, yeah, it's a hard question to try to find what's in the head of Trudeau. But if you look at his electoral campaign, Trudeau has been making an electoral campaign on the oppression of the unvaccinated. That's what he's been doing. And so I think he's just continuing on that trend. I think he saw that, well, it kind of worked. Not that he got a very good response of the vote, but at least he's still in power. So he's just continuing. He thinks that he scores points politically when he attacks the unvaccinated. Mama JF is coming. What is up, Mama JF?
Hey, I just saw in the chat the guy name was Pierre Laporte.
Pierre Laporte was the name of the minister who got kidnapped at his porte, at his door.
Yeah, what? That's weird. Is this a joke or something?
No, it's not. It's not pre-programming, Mama JF.
Maybe it was a joke from God.
A joke from God.
Because the Laporte means the door.
Yeah, Laporte means the door, and he was kidnapped by opening the door. Okay, I had never thought of this parallel, but you know, Mama JF always ahead of me in terms of connecting things together. Carnival says, troops Putin is pulling back are those from Belarus war games that just ended on schedule. No evidence is pulling back from east side. He said today Russians in Donbass are being genocided. G word. Yeah, I mean, I understand. I don't expect all troops to be gone from the eastern front of Ukraine. That would be stupid for him to do this. But it seems to me that if there was an actual plan of invasion of Ukraine, it seems to me that Putin would have kind of benefited from the position on the north front in Belarus. So the fact that he's withdrawing these troops in line, as you say, with the scheduled withdrawal, because they were there for war games and demonstrations, I don't know what it was. The fact that he's doing it suggests a relief, at least in the... It seems that the assessment by the US was wrong, which I've been suspecting for a long time, but I had no criteria to tell me they're certainly wrong, but I was like, this looks like US war propaganda. And it was. But in a way, it might have been caused by Putin. Putin may have had a fine understanding enough of the willingness of the US to warmonger that he played with it, he trolled them. Rudy Lassid says, Ukraine is a war of attrition. If it cost Russia 1 million per day, while it costs 100 million per day for US/NATO, Russia just has to wait it out. Exactly. And that's one of the beautiful things in the position of Vladimir Putin. Time is on his side. It's like, having these tanks there or there doesn't cost much more or less. And meanwhile, NATO and the US are getting, they're exhausting not only their own resources, they're spending much more, but they're also exhausting their population through, you know, all the media campaign that had been, that had to be pushed here is all a lot of money if you really want to boil it down to it. Although it may not have been originating from a given payment. It's not like someone bought CNN to do war propaganda, although it might happen. But it's all waste of human kind of morale and will and trust. Like, the American people has been told it's going to happen every day now for 2 weeks. And it's not happening. Itash says, Trudeau is a young global leader from the WEF, just as Jacinda Ardern. So what else do you expect? By the way, Putin is one as well. I've seen those claims by the high IQ man of Gab. I forget his name. I've seen those claims. And yeah, I even showed the Gab post of this guy. I don't know. I have no way to verify this. I don't know. But yeah, there's definitely something weird happening around this Klaus Schwab guy and the WEF. It's like they are pushing for authoritarianism everywhere. Grapes Coda says, you can check the WEF alumni on their side, JF. Okay, I'll check. And Putin is on there? I'm surprised. It doesn't seem like Putin is acting in line with Jacinda Ardern and Justin Trudeau. Viva Frey on Twitter says, don't worry, Justin Trudeau isn't calling in the military. He's just authorizing banks to unilaterally freeze your accounts on the basis of suspicion alone. No court order required. With legal immunity, I hope everyone realizes how much more dangerous this is than the military. Yes, it's absolutely dangerous. And on top of it, it's not just the banks, it's the insurance companies. You know, in Canada, being deprived of car insurance is a grave thing. Because if you don't have car insurance anymore, you cannot have your car. It's a legal requirement to be carrying your insurance cards around. And so one threat that was done by Trudeau is that he would deprive the truckers of their insurance cards. He said, bring back those trucks to your home. They are needed for the normal economy and not for this ridiculous protest. threatening someone to remove their insurance card on the basis of an emergency act of that kind is basically threatening them to be unable to move in Canada. It's a direct attack on freedom of movement. Martial law in Canada, it's never been riskier not to own Bitcoin. Welcome to the era of civil asset forfeiture for your bank accounts, where governments are woke, broke, and the new F word is freedom. Oh yeah, while this is all happening, so Trudeau is pushing his authoritarian agenda. Give, send, go gets hacked. The mainstream media in Canada is publishing stuff saying that freedom, the word freedom, is a new far-right dog whistle. You can't make this up. This is what happens when you have these libertarian leftists siding with the regime. When you have the people, like the people I've debated on Modern Day Debate, who define as libertarian leftist, you end up with liberty and not meaning anything anymore. They're all siding with an authoritarian, and it seems that freedom, you know, after racism and misinformation, freedom is the next fighting ground. I was recognizing myself in what they were describing. You know, they were saying, you know, you have these podcasters out there. They talk of freedom a lot, but really they have a dark agenda behind. I was like, oh my God, they're talking about me. Canadian Civil Liberties Association, the federal government has not met the threshold necessary to invoke the Emergencies Act. This law creates a high and clear standard for good reason. The act allows government to bypass ordinary democratic processes. This standard has not been met. The Emergencies Act can only be invoked when a situation seriously threatens the ability of the government of Canada to preserve the sovereignty, security, and territorial integrity of Canada, and when the situation cannot be effectively dealt with under any other law of Canada. So I don't think that this standard has been met. I agree with the Canadian Civil Liberties Association. Words like sovereignty, security, and territorial integrity, that would apply to an outside invasion. That would apply to another country pushing something into your country and taking over. A bunch of truckers in a labor dispute with the government, that doesn't qualify. And in any case, there are other laws to deal with this. There are laws that make it illegal to park in certain places, so give them a parking ticket. But of course, Trudeau knows that because the parking tickets will not be strong enough to deter them, he wants stronger power. People have been publishing this on the Discord. I found this amazing. Cuckold Simulator. So you learn to live a life of cuckold. The cuckold is this guy, and you are with a kind of wife, but she has a black boyfriend, and you have to spend your days in the wage cage. So that's that's where you can gather money, and then when you go home, your wife is sleeping with that other man, and you also have a black child. You have to you have to take care of your black child, and at times you can get a rest from your life of cuckoldry. You go to a sex shop, but then there's a super beautiful girl there, but she's like, oh no, you're broke, I'm not interested in you. It's like cucked throughout. And amazingly, they've made a Jack Goldman update. You can now play the cuckold simulator being Jack Goldman. Mama JF is coming. What's up, Mama JF?
Who is Jack Goldman?
Jack Murphy. It's a joke on Jack Murphy, okay. the guy who's on Timcast.
Okay, the guy. Hey, there was another game like this that PewDiePie played. It was like you were chatting with a girl.
Okay.
And it was just textless. Mm-hmm. And the thing was was changing your answer so you would stay in the friend zone.
Ah. So it was keeping you from going too far and suggesting romantically.
Yes. Wow. Or very... if you say weak enough stuff, it lets you type.
Okay. A cuckold threshold detector. Very interesting. Trudeau regime announces terrorist financing will now include crowdfunding donations for anything they don't like. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau invoked the Emergencies Act. Blah, blah, blah. Trudeau is going to crack down on truckers protesting overbearing COVID regulations. Later today, Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Finance Chrystia Freeland announced a new monetary rules on terrorist financing, also known as crowdfunding. According to the Trudeau administration, terrorist financing now includes crowdsourcing, anything the government does not like or approve. Okay, that's the situation in Canada. Unbelievable. Unbelievable that we're here. Pentagon seeking to verify Russian troop reduction near Ukraine. So Russia has stated that there would be a troop reduction, and there has been some tanks driven out of the region around Ukraine. But the U.S. is still doubting. And so the Pentagon has said it is reviewing and closely monitoring the situation, seeking confirmation of the Russian drawdown claims. We are aware of reports of Russian claims that they are withdrawing some forces away from the border with Ukraine. Our analysts are reviewing, but we have nothing further at this time. And in another part of the statement, the U.S. says, Putin has been in the past saying that he would withdraw and didn't withdraw. So it's like, even when they're faced with the clear statement that there will not be a war, they still doubt it. They still hang on to that hope. Senate Republicans move to delay vote on Biden's Fed vice chair nominee following the confirmed reports that President Biden's Fed vice chair nominee helped an obscure fintech firm obtain an unusual degree of access to the Fed's payment system, successfully lobbying the Kansas City Fed in 2018. Republicans are moving to delay the vote on Sarah Bloom Raskin, saying they need answers. So this will be a new Fed nominee. It's never good news when the Fed becomes even more controlled by Democrats. The Fed is already extremely Democrat and extremely leftist in its policies, extremely pro-state and pro-elites of the regime. It's only going to get worse as the Democrats get more of their people in there. Russian troops begin withdrawal from Ukrainian border. Video released of Russian heavy weapons returning to Russia from Belarus. There they are. The tanks are on the way. And they are going out. Go away, says JF. Surely it is illegal and immoral to offer to pay someone else costs incurred while committing a crime before that crime is committed. I couldn't tell you that if you kill someone, I'll pay for your lawyer, and you shouldn't tell someone you will pay their parking fines either. Well, the problem here is when you pay someone who eventually would commit a crime, first, there's serious questions about whether any crime has been committed. At best, what I see evidence for is perhaps some parking violations. At best, this is what's happening here. But here, the problem is, first, if you unjustly assess that a parking violation is a crime, you're already in the lie here. Secondly, there is a problem in the amount of mens rea required. To be part of a crime, to be associated to a crime through funding, you have to have had the mens rea, the state of mind that you knew your money would be used for criminality. Here, it's not that at all. Clearly, the people who were giving on the Give Send Go site or GoFundMe before that, they were giving for a protest. And as part of the protest, even if a crime was to be eventually committed in the protest, that is certainly not what the campaign was claiming they would do. So you can't stop money because it would eventually get to a crime. That's nonsense. It's a Minority Report territory here. And on top of it, you have to acknowledge that criminals have rights. So, I mean, I don't acknowledge that convoy truckers are criminal, okay? It's not what I'm saying. But suppose they were criminal. They would still have a right, for example, to crowdfund, to get an attorney. And who are you to say that the people donating to this campaign wanted their money to go to the crime and not to the legal defense? That is a big question. I mean, this is why all that Trudeau is doing right now under emergency powers should not sustain the test of the law and should not be successful if presented in a trial. But everyone knows that's not how emergency acts. People do it. The elites and the people in power use these things to act quickly while knowingly they are illegally acting. They know that it's illegal what they're doing with the bank accounts. They know that it won't survive in a court of law if the court of law is just. But they're still doing it because they think it cuts the grass under the feet of their opposition. They want to reduce the problem. Harold says, would you want TRP to be translated into English? No, Harold. Thanks for your super chat. Thank you for your donation to the show. But English, I'm not interested in having a Revolutionary Phenotype edition in English. English with an A like this. The normal English is sufficient to me. I think it's a confusing language, and some of what you've shown me was cute. Some of what you've shown me also was overly complicated. I'm totally fine with regular English, and thank you for the offer, but I don't see any interest in translating my book to this torturous language. Disclose.tv reveals that U.S. senators have been getting together, both Democrats and Republicans, including, look at this, McConnell, Rubio, making a statement of solidarity with Ukraine. In this dark hour, we are sending a bipartisan message of solidarity and resolve to the people of Ukraine, and an equally clear warning to Vladimir Putin and the Kremlin. You know, when I see Rubio, when I see McConnell side with this Democrat propaganda of warmongering, I'm very disappointed. Of course, we know that the system is owned, and that the political opponents are totally controlling the system, both Democrats and Republicans. And so it's not surprising, but it's always hurtful to realize it again, that even if the Democrats are supposed to be at the threshold of the majority in the Senate, the reality is that there are many allies of the Democrats on the Republican side. And that the system will get what it wants. And if that eventually becomes a support of Ukraine and a war against Vladimir Putin, that will be what it is. Ukraine banks and defense ministry websites down amid cyber attack fears. So that's weird. It was a shutdown of Ukrainian banks and websites, but a kind of preventive shutdown. Perhaps the expected imminent Russian invasion narrative the White House has been pushing will come merely in the form of a cyber attack. There are current unconfirmed reports that Ukraine government websites may be experiencing a hack or cyber security threat. Others attempting to log onto Ukraine's defense ministry website have said they receive a notification saying the site is under maintenance. So there they are. They have closed preemptively. Maybe there was some attack going on, or maybe it was just a fear. 74% of Americans think they will be involved in a war within 12 months. The prospect of a high-intensity armed conflict involving major military power has been a subject of reflection and concern in expert circle. This threat is also of concern to the public, at least they seem aware of it in many countries. So we can see Sweden at 16%, Germany at 33%, France at 52%, Russia at 64%, the United States at 74%. Well, you can't blame the Americans, because the fact is the United States has been at war for so many time, for so long, that it's actually surprising that we're not in a major war. Lappy Top says, Jeff, did you decide to not finish the book about moral signaling? Certainly not. I've actually already sold copies of it, hand-signed copies of it, so I am committed to delivering this book. It certainly will happen. My problem is I've had so much reading to do. I have an episode on Frank Salter that I'm preparing. I have to read his old book, and it's been demanding in time, extremely. So I've not advanced much, but no, definitely there will be a moral signal coming out. I'm working on it. Unfortunately, I've not advanced much in the last month, and I need to get back to it. Now we've done it. We've pissed off the CIA, says Zero Hedge. The CIA has been publishing about one of my favorite outlets, the Zero Hedge, although it's not very well described in this particular article, but let me, I think I had another news item. Zero Hedge, Russian propaganda. Essentially, the intelligence community is accusing Zero Hedge of publishing Russian propaganda. Zero Hedge says accusations of spreading Russian propaganda are false. Conservative financial news outlet Zero Hedge is denying accusations. It is spreading Russian propaganda. It's been so overdone, this whole concept of Russian propaganda. At this point, I have the impression that anything I've been revolving around has been declared Russian propaganda. We've had some of the guests on the public space were eventually called Russian agents. We've had some of our friends. And now we have Zero Hedge, which is the website I like to use because they do have interest in the kind of news that I like. So whenever I want to cover a subject in the nightly show, it's almost certain that Zero Hedge will have covered it. So, but it's worrying how the regime is pushing a narrative that among our midst, just because some people think differently, that they are mouthpieces for another country. Personally, Vladimir Putin never contacted me, never pushed me to read Zero Hedge. And so I feel like they are taking any opposition to the mainstream narrative and pointing to it as Russian propaganda. Prince Andrew has been settling his pedo trial. He pays accuser an undisclosed sum. The case had been opened for $73 million, I believe. So I believe that the amount of money will probably look like around $70 million or perhaps less. Sometimes, the victim is willing to take a reduced pay. So Prince Andrew has decided that Virginia Guffrey, the girl in this picture, would receive millions of dollars so that he doesn't have to go through the shame of a public trial. What can I say? Am I happy? I don't know. In the end, this looks to me like it was an enterprise of prostitution revolving around Jeff Epstein. But the prostitution happened to be made with a girl here who was below the age of 18. I believe that as these events happened, she had been something like 16 or 17. And the fact is that there are special laws in the US where you could have a consensual relationship in certain states with a 17-year-old, but federal law bars prostitution and the traffic of humans for sexual purposes under the age of 18. So you have a case here where it's really at the border. How many Jeff Epstein prostitutes turned out to be 18 and because of this do not fall under the prostitution of minor laws and as such have no leverage against Prince Andrew or against other celebrities that they slept with. In the end, this girl is getting paid tens of millions of dollars just because she was technically 17. But I don't think she was constrained. I think she has willingly engaged in essentially prostitution as she was young. Does that deserve tens of millions of dollars? I don't know. Maybe. Well, clearly she got it. The Optimic Pessimist sends a super chat. Thank you so much for supporting the show through Odyssey. It's wonderful. The Odyssey platform. I don't know if you guys have been trying the dark mode, but my God, is that beautiful to see your super chats coming in. Not too aggressive to the eye. Beautiful purple color. Thank you so much. He says, do you mind critiquing or reacting to my short book review? Okay. The Secret of Our Success by Joseph Enrich. Wow, that, I've not read that book, but I've heard about Joseph Enrich. I must have read some other things by him. This book is an obituary to the nature versus nurture dichotomy. Nurture is part of nature. It is commonplace within areas such as the social science to misplace biology at the center when conceptualizing human nature, and then critiquing the concept of a human nature using cultural explanations. But culture is the other side of the coin of human nature. This book proves cultural adaptations were and continue to be an essential aspect of human evolution. Cultural traditions, technological innovations, and social institutions are tools that reinforce and empower our biology in order to overcome evolutionary pressures. What is not discussed in this book are the implications of this. The complete undermining of kicking the legs out from under, the social constructionist and cultural relativist, if culture is nature and has an evolutionary purpose, then these two theoretical perspectives must be dismissed. Following this logic, when looking at group or cultural differences, it is a mistake to reject these differences on the basis of a lack of biological evidence, for instance, sex differences or race differences, as the social constructionists do, because of their fundamentally fallacious view that culture is disconnected from biology and human nature. And we should be wary of those cultural relativists who forfeit the relevance of a particular culture when concerning human progress. Yeah, it's an interesting review. I don't know if it relates to the book. You know, I don't know how right you are about this book. Is this book really how culture is driving human evolution, domesticating our species, and making us smarter? I don't know, because it seems that you're taking my words here, that nurture is part of nature. Is that a case made in the book, or is that something you got from me? That would be my question. I don't know enough about Joseph Enrich to know what would be his final position in that book. But yeah, it's an interesting take. However, your review lacks something. The reason nurture is part of nature is that genes cause nurturing. And because genes cause nurturing, nurturing behavior, parental behavior, and caring of any kind is ultimately a genetically encoded behavior and therefore is subject to evolution. I don't see that straightforward statement up to now in your review. It's not a bad review, but I think it goes into the high ethers of the question without connecting back to the ground. Never forget when you write the text to stay connected to reality. New Chrome Zero Day Bug under active attack. Update your browser ASAP. There has been a new bug in Chrome, and Chrome is not necessarily updating automatically. So if those of you are using Chrome, click the dot 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 at the upper right and check for an update in the About section, because there is an exploit that is available. It's not dramatic. It's not like the person will take control of your computer, but you may be subject to an attack, so keep it fresh. Always keep everything fresh. Always update your Windows, update your server, update your Linux update everything. Go away, says Jeff. Will genes cause the phenotypic revolution? Ah, well, that's a question. What I suggest in my book is that, yes, ultimately, the heading toward a phenotypic revolution is as much an evolutionary trap as anything else. And evolution has caused even the things that combat evolution. Like, think about the dysgenic effect of medicine. The fact that we have so many medicines that keep us alive is ultimately having a negative eugenic effects and making us less capable of surviving in the wild, less capable of surviving without these medications, and eventually multiplies the number of genes of people who would be dependent on medicine to keep surviving in the future. Yet, us being headed toward medicine and trying to develop medicine as much as we could was an evolutionary direction. Same thing for building houses, for example. Houses have been making us more feeble, and the humans of today, because of houses, because their ancestors survived in houses, the humans of today are less able to survive in the wild. But it was an evolutionary decision, and the phenotypic revolution is an evolutionary decision. I argue we shouldn't make it, but it's still an evolutionary decision. Stephen Robinson says, Jeff, have you seen Ocean's 11? Very entertaining. I watched these things, not with much attention, but I did watch the Ocean movies. It's cheesy. It's like melted cheese. It's good. Like, oh yeah, let's take all the specialists of all sorts of fields and get them together to accomplish a thing that is unique and fantastic and spectacular. And they pulled it off due to their very specific contribution and quirky personalities. It's like, yeah, we've been through this. I watched Armageddon also. Not bad, well done, dynamic, and haha, it's fun to watch. But it's not a movie that changed my life. President Biden says he placed a dead dog on a woman's doorstep when he was a county council member. Let's have a look at what he says.
A call one night. A woman said to me, obviously not of the same persuasion as I was politically, called me and said, there's a dead dog on my lawn. And I said, yes, ma'am. I said, have you called the county? He said, yes, they're not here. And I said, well, I'll get them in the morning. She said, I want it removed now. I pay your salary. So I went over. I picked it up. She said, I want it out of my front yard. I put it on her doorstep.
So you were a council member of a city and you dropped a dead dog on her doorstep because you were annoyed that she has demands for you. This is illegal, I guess. It's some kind of threatening act. Why is the president of the US just out there admitting criminal actions? Fish Ballista sends a question on entropy. He says, do you think completing TRP will be possible if humanity has to develop its technologies again without fossil fuels? Can we prevent TRP by a complete crash after we burn all the coal and oil? The coal and oil. Certainly, technological regression is always on our side. So if societies become less complex and less productive in any way, it will always help because it will make the cost of any technology and any power more steep. That being said, I don't think that a high cost of power and high cost in fuel and even disappearance of fuel would massively keep us from committing to the CRISPR direction. Because I don't think much energy is needed. It's not like an energy incentive, intensive domain, the domain of genetic modification. It, as I've pointed out many times before, there's nothing that keeps a phenotypic revolution to operate without a computer. It could all happen on paper. And it could all be medical doctors, clinics, getting together and modifying our genes. Because it's a medical service, and of course I understand that to have a medical service, to have a clinic, you need to have a building, you need to have people drive there, they spend fuel, and your computers are, even if you don't use computers for the probabilistic calculation, there will still need to be some kind of electricity cost. But in essence, CRISPR is not a fuel-intensive process. It can happen at low cost of energy, and I believe that it could happen. So the only thing that really protects us from the revolutionary phenotype is a conscious decision by the whole of society not to commit to it, or a society becoming so stupid that they don't know how to do it. So those are the two options that I see. I don't think that the lack of fuel is a big problem. Go Away says, Kurt Doolittle on your show the other day used a term that I think described a build-up of poor genes in the lower classes. Do you remember him saying this, and could you elaborate? yes, did he use dysgenic or did he use a mutation accumulator? And, you know, it's... I've already commented on this, and I've commented on this in the context of responding to Edward Dutton. There is no such thing as... There is no such thing as bad mutation accumulation. If these mutations are accumulating, they're accumulating in people. If people are alive to accumulate these mutations, then they are alive. That means that they are evolutionarily successful. That means that these mutations aren't as bad as you want them to be. It's simple as this. Our societies create evolutionary success for low tiers of society, for people who are dependent on the government. That is not a process of mutation accumulation. That is not a process of evolution stopping. It is a process of evolution continuing, but going in the direction that you don't want it to go. Evolution always operates. Evolution always applies, even when you have a bunch of fatty, blubbed, stupid idiots forming your life form and taking over. Evolution even applies in idiocracy. This is all evolution at play. And if you have a class of people who are successful at making babies, and they happen to live lifestyles that are low education, low health, low everything, that just means that in this world, low education, low health, and everything is a fit phenotype. So yeah, spiteful mutant is the term that Edward Dutton uses. Spiteful mutant is not a good term, and it leads you to a misunderstanding of evolution, because you end up understanding differences that are advantageous as being disadvantageous. And you end up having some kind of psychological interpretation that the people who have these mutations are kind of spiteful. They are pissed at the better people. It's not what's happening. What's happening is our societies naturally select for very successful people. It just turns out that these very successful people, evolutionarily successful, have dirty underwears. Had you donated to Give, Send, Go? 10 people have answered no. One person has answered yes. All right, so... most of you have not been affected, thankfully, by the hack. And hopefully, you know, the hack has just revealed real names and emails. So it's not like your life is over. And let's not forget that many people have, you know, a given name can exist multiple times. So it's not necessarily a full identifier of who you are. But if your email has been revealed and attached to your identity, perhaps it's a good idea to change email. So tonight, it's not it for tonight because we're just closing the regular show, but we have our private Patreon and Subscribestar hangout for the supporters of the show. So check in the description below, join the Subscribestar at the $20 level, and come discuss with me and the boys tonight in our private show. It will be in 40 minutes from now. Thank you so much for joining us. For those who will not be with us for the private show, thank you for joining us on Odyssey. And we have an exciting week because what do we have here? Tomorrow, the show will be at 9 p.m. Eastern time. Thursday, we will have there will not be a regular show. There will only be the modern day debate at 9 p.m. Eastern time on racial policing. And Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern time, we're going to get Ray Fleming on his theory of physics, which is absolutely wonderful. Mama JF is here. What's up?
Like, what,
oh yeah, we've been making sausages. Mama JF has been doing wonderful sausages.
We did this all day. We hacked the pork.
We hide the pork.
We hacked
the pork.
Yes. Like...
Yes. We have so much pork meat that comes from our half pig that we bought. We had many pounds of pork ground meat, and so we've decided to make breakfast sausages. They are very good. I've been eating some of them on the show, you know, 3 days ago, and Mama JF is now producing the rest of the sausages. Wonderful to eat this meat, which is not processed in the same way as the grocery store ones, because the grocery store, they clearly don't have that texture. I'm still feeling when I eat these sausages that I'm eating basically meat. When you eat a breakfast sausage from the grocery store, it's somewhere between meat and something else. Much love. See you all in 40 minutes on the private show. Bye-bye. Thank you.